my Fix It Up life.
We're cleaning up our act and asking the big questions. Do we control our stuff, or does our stuff control us? Are we hoarders in the making?
Tiffany Brooks, HGTV design star and host of HGTV's Most Embarrassing Rooms in America, gives us a clean look at the piles she's seen and talks great organization tips.
And we check in with hoarding expert Dr. Elspeth Bell about what it means for the people and their lives before and after the TV cameras show their story.
We're facing facts and sprucing up our biggest hidden messes. It's time to let go of separation anxiety and take control.
It's a clean sweep, and it's happening right now on My Fix It Up Life.
Time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar is a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar is a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org. You're inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're collecting today. We're collecting information on collecting.
Well, sort of. We're talking about hoarding. And, you know, you say it sort of an offhanded thing to me sometimes because I have a lot of things.
You do have a lot of things.
I have a lot of things. I used to collect giraffes, and I had hundreds of them. And now I probably only have, like, I don't know, 40, which is kind of
hundreds.
Good.
Hold on while my heart jumps out of my chest.
But then I also have so many little bits and pieces that I imagine that I'm going to do something with someday, and I sort of set it aside. And I have this large shelf in our basement full of things that don't look like they go to anything that I feel like I'm going to do something with someday. And Mark, my husband, says...
Clean it off. Empty. Move it.
And you say, stop being such a hoarder. Well, we have an expert on the line right now who knows about what hoarding really is.
Dr. Elspeth Bell, who we found through Rebuilding Together in the D.C. area. And Dr. Bell, you can give us an answer to our question. You know, we see it all over the place on TV and so forth, but what really is hoarding?
Well, actually, the way that you brought it up here is a really interesting point. There's a distinction here between collecting and hoarding. And a lot of people can identify with the collecting. You have, you know, the giraffes where you want to accumulate some more. You like to display them and show them and share them with other people, and it shows a pretty specific interest that you've got. When you cross the line over to hoarding behaviors, though, it seems almost indiscriminate. Or somebody who walks into the home might say, wow, there's just so much stuff. It seems all random, similar to this shelf of projects, perhaps. But what tends to happen more is when somebody is holding on to a lot of stuff, there's this fear of what might I do without it. So things can get accumulated. They get brought into your house because there's a great idea. There's an opportunity or a potential associated with each of those items. And then, well, it's the gap between the intention of what you want to do with that item and then putting it into action and following through. And it might be, say, a mug with a broken handle. Well, I can do something with the mug. I might come across the handle piece somewhere else. I just don't know where it is yet. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to let go of the mug because I could maybe find some use for it, or I might find the handle and be able to repair it someday.
So is one of the core underlying currents in hoarding, I guess, in a medical standpoint, fear?
It's definitely anxiety. And what we tend to see, actually, some of the most common comorbid diagnoses, and that's just other psychiatric issues that are going on. You have the hoarding behaviors. You get a lot of anxiety. You have a lot of, again, basically a fear, but you also get a lot of depression. And you have some elements of, we call them executive functioning issues. So that's like ADHD.
Oh, I got buckets of those.
Well, it's amazing how a lot of people have sprinkles here and there. But there's this portion of the population where it all comes together and you get hoarding. So you get people who are struggling with anxiety, with a fear of making mistakes. There's perfectionism in there. And then there's some depression, perhaps. It's hard to get motivated to follow through on the actions and the plans. And then you maybe get some ADHD sprinkles in there where I'm working on these steps and I've got a plan and I'm doing it one and two. And, oh, there's a bunny. I forgot about step three. So it never actually follows through. And the more these pieces come together, you get this accumulation of stuff. So there's more stuff coming in than there is going out. So you have like a beaver building a dam. You get this backlog behind, and then it swamps you. You end up feeling very overwhelmed by all of this stuff, and it becomes very cyclical. The more stuff there is, the more overwhelmed you feel, the less hopeful you feel about being able to manage it. The less you do, the more stuff builds up.
So it's not necessarily about the amount of stuff that you have. It's about the kind of stuff that you have?
It can be the kind of stuff and also the relationship that you have with the stuff. So if it's causing you distress, if it's interfering with being able to do your activities of daily life, then it can become an issue. One interesting way to think about it would be if you were to ask yourself, well, how many pairs of shoes do you need? Now, if you were to ask my husband this, he'd probably say, oh, you only need like one or two pairs of shoes. But then you look at Imelda Marcos, and she had, I'm not sure, how many thousands of pairs of shoes. Well, for Imelda there, with all of her shoes, it wasn't excessive in that she had the space in her home to accommodate it. The shoes were kept in an organized manner. She could access them as she needed to, and they didn't get in the way of her doing other things. Now, if you lived in a studio apartment in Manhattan and you had that same number of shoes, there's just no way that you could actually live in that space with all those shoes present. So the quantity in the context of the actual space that you've got available, being able to use that space for its intended purpose, and then how do you feel about the things? So let's say that, you know, you had a relative who passed away and you inherited all of this stuff. Well, that's not necessarily hoarding. You just had this unanticipated influx of things that now you're trying to deal with.
So when someone wakes up one day and realizes that they've literally carved trails through their home, through their stuff, their, I don't know, the sinks full of dishes and all the different kinds of scenes we've seen, is there a point where they literally don't see it anymore?
Well, imagine it's like weight gain. So very rarely does somebody go to bed one night and wake up the next morning 200 pounds heavier. But over the course of, say, 25, 30, 40 years, the pounds can creep on. And you end up not really noticing it from day to day because it's not a dramatic flipping of a switch. Whereas if you saw that person when they graduated from high school and then you see them at the 50th reunion, for you it's, wow, point A, point B, oh my gosh, what happened? The individual may not be fully aware of it themselves. You really can become desensitized to your environment. And what's so amazing is that a lot of people that struggle with this clutter, they accommodate the stuff, whereas most other people make the stuff accommodate them. So let's say it's, you know, you're going to bed, you walk upstairs, and there's a big pile of laundry on your bed. Well, I don't know about you, but I would say, all right, let me put the laundry in the basket, or if I'm really tired, I may just dump it on the floor, but I'm clearing off the bed so that I can go to sleep. Somebody else might move the laundry to the side and sleep on just the edge of the bed, because they don't really know how to deal with the stuff. They're too overwhelmed. They don't have a place for it to go. So they end up working around the pile of laundry, allowing for it to dominate the bed, rather than giving themselves permission to take over their own bed.
Wow.
And this happens more and more where the stuff encroaches on all the various spaces in the house, and the person kind of allows the stuff to have that authority in their own space.
So what do you do? So how do you talk to people that have this as what they're trying to deal with? And it's almost like the stuff becomes, I'm thinking about it like our children, like we accommodate our children and we sort of work around our lives to accommodate them. But like stuff becomes so important as if it is like
human.
Right. How do you approach someone who has that kind of connection to their things?
Well, I think actually as you're describing kind of like how you relate to your children, you accommodate to a point, but if you continually accommodate your child everywhere, you're going to have, you know, in my case, I'm going to have a toddler that rules the house, whereas our goal is to shape the child to work within the family. You accommodate, but you also expect them to accommodate. So we do the same thing when we talk about our stuff. So we're not saying get rid of everything. But the stuff is supposed to be a reflection of who you are as an individual, what's most important to you, what your values are, what you prioritize. And when there's so much stuff, it overwhelms the person, and the sense of the person gets lost in there. So we look at basically filtering through each item and asking, how important is it? Does it really reflect who you are? Are you going to be able to take action on this item as you intend to? Well, when will that happen by? Because very often, oh, I'm going to read that magazine, and it gets lost in the clutter again. It's no longer relevant, and it just becomes part of the mess. So we try to create some kinds of structure and accountability, not me imposing my priorities on somebody else, but allowing them to explore and create their own framework so that way they can choose for themselves what is important to them, what do they want to have in their space, and what might they allow to be released from that space so that way who they really are as a person can show.
So how long, and I realize this is a gray area answer, but in a severe case, how long does it take to declutter, I guess, someone's home and their mind along with it so that you can park a dumpster outside and fill it up?
Right. And I think that really depends on who that person is and really what the crisis in the situation is. Like you might see some of the different TV shows that are out there, and they'll do a clean out in 3 days. And so you can get a team in there, and they can do a very intensive clean out. But I guarantee you, if you come back to that house, say 6 months later, the clutter is going to be coming back because the individual is not learning the skills themselves for how to deal with the clutter itself. So whatever pattern has been established before is just going to come back. You know, research has generally shown that a course of intensive cognitive behavior therapy to focus on decluttering can take about 6 months. And that's working, say, with an organizer, a therapist, a comprehensive collaborative team to really focus in on this clutter. And that's enough to get a change started. But clutter, it's a lot like laundry in that you can clean out the entire house, you can do all your clothes, put them away. At the end of the day, there's going to be another pair of socks in that hamper. So it's not a one-time intervention that gets the place decluttered. It's maybe an initial push to bring that level of clutter down, but then you need ongoing efforts to keep that clutter at bay. So someone might do an intensive course of therapy, and with that, working with an organizer, a whole team here, after that, there's going to be maybe touching base with an organizer to stay on top of it, continuing to work with a therapist, perhaps in a less intensive setting, for working on the other issues. What kind of establish that pattern in the first place for the clutter to build, and what can we do to help make sure that clutter stays at bay? But as I mentioned a little while ago, you have these comorbid issues, these other mental health factors. So when you're going through the decluttering process, it's not uncommon for the anxiety or the depression to really flare up. So sometimes the interventions can take a little longer, because you're looking at dealing with the other issues that are going on in the person's life at the same time, because they all are kind of interconnected with each other.
Wow, absolutely amazing. We have, unfortunately, we have to go to break, and you have just given me a lot of severe motivation to go look at my shelf in the basement of our house and to decide, am I really going to do these projects, or am I really just not going to do them?
You got to ask yourself those tough questions.
I do. I think my husband's ready to ask me them, too.
And I might need to call you because that extra pair of socks after you do your load of laundry drives me crazy. So we're going to go to a break. I'll be laying on the couch. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Life.
Parking lot, I'll be there around 9 o'clock. Timing couldn't have been much better.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my very organized wife, Teresa.
Ooh, I like to hear that.
When you get a game plan, you get super organized.
Yeah.
You're all about it. I will say this from the family side of things, perhaps a hair obsessive.
Perhaps, but I keep all the things going, and I do have some extra stuff in our house that I can't quite get to. So while I am organized, keeping the machine of our family going strong, I have a lot of like clutter piles around our house, and I'm wondering if Tiffany Brooks, our guest, has the same problem.
HGTV Design Star, America's Most Embarrassing Rooms. HGTV, go.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I have been great. I've been awesome. Life is just, you know, a whirlwind. But, yes, I do have some things to kind of tell about myself and in my own living situation right here on the radio.
So let's all get cozy.
Should we have a teletype machine playing in the background or some type of music? You heard it here first.
A little sofa for me to lay on. You guys are going to be my therapy today.
Okay, tell us about it. So what are you clinging to obsessively?
I am obsessed with home magazines.
Mm.
I have magazine issues that date all the way back to 2005. Now, when you think about that, that's 10 years worth of one issue of a magazine, and then you multiply that by all the types of magazines that are out on newsstands, and you have yourself a problem.
Well, you know, I think
that
of that
is
as
my phobia, and I.
It might
that's
be
my vice.
It might be a good thing though too, because then you're like, you can go back to 2005, right, and then see what was going on then, because you know what, recently my parents moved from the house they'd lived in for 20 years, and I went through some stuff that was at their house still, and there were some magazines that I had kept from...
Before 2005.
Way before that. And it was fun to look through them and say, oh, look what was hot then. Like, it's coming back in style now. Yeah.
No, it's stuff like that. It's ridiculous on my end, because you know what? I have this innate gift to go into someone's house and see just as easy as I can possibly see what's happening there and what their clutter issues are. But I swear, if somebody handles my magazines the wrong way, or if they mix up December with April's issue, it's a problem. And yes, you may think that they're good for reference, but some of that stuff is really left in the past for a reason. It's not coming back. It's never going to come back. I don't know why I still have the magazines taking up shelves and shelves and shelves of valuable square footage in my house, but that's my thing. That's my dirty little secret.
Well, I have a trick that I'm going to play on you next time you're out to dinner. I'm going to your house. I'm going to take the magazines out, but I'm only going to rearrange the subscription cards inside them. And I move them all around, and then you open one up, and because they always fall out, right? And you will have a snowstorm of subscription cards from the April 2009 issue.
Right. You know what? You come do that right around April Fool's Day. My heart would be, you know, a little bit less hurt if you do it around then. But from now on, you leave my stuff alone.
Well, let's talk about...
I do have some tips, though, you know, for myself and for the listeners. So
okay, so let's go. How can we help other people? Because obviously we're bad at helping ourselves.
You know what? And the word, I don't like the word hoarding, but it's coming down to it with some of the houses and the spaces that I'm going in. A lot of people are really having a tough time with giving up the paperwork piles, giving up the toys in the spaces, giving up the clothing that they know that they can't fit anymore, and they'll probably never be able to fit into again. And when it's taking up valuable square footage and becoming a problem in your life, then it's time to do something about it.
Okay. So how do you get people to get rid of things like their magazine pile? How do you talk to them?
What's the first step?
The first step is that I show people some images and inspirational shots of what their house could look like once we get rid of what happened in the past, the stuff. And, you know, they kind of get enthusiastic about the possibilities of their space in this unused square footage. For example, if you have the papers on your table, I show people, like on your kitchen table, I may show people images of beautiful breakfast rooms and how uncluttered they look. And then I take steps on how to get there. Like, for example, with papers, they make wonderful products that you can use for scanning in your papers and actually discarding them or shredding the papers after you're done with them. You have all the stuff in your scanner, and then you have the important documents filed away neatly, and you can probably get to them quicker than you could a paperwork pile on your breakfast table or on your counter in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So you don't recommend painting your house with your social security number on the outside.
Wait, that's my vanity license plate. What are you talking about?
Look, I'm not that quick on the uptake. I need clarification, Tiffany.
I don't recommend doing that. It's step by step, you know, with some people.
Got it. So that's the end. You do that at the end. Once you've scanned everything, then, okay, got it. Writing it down.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Write that down. It's important. I mean, and they have so many scanners out there. So go there. Go to the Container Store. Get yourself a scanner and a shredder and a couple of document boxes of things that you obviously can't discard, like tax returns. And then get those things in some neat document boxes. But everything else can be thrown away, seriously.
Now, what about
everything things else can be thrown away
that you're encountering people that just can't get rid of whatever that family heirloom is that does not fit with their house, that they probably don't like that much, and it's definitely not going to go with what you're going to do when you make over their room or their house. So what do you do about that family heirloom?
Well, the thing is, the word heirloom and antique can easily be kind of interchanged in the wrong way. If it's a family heirloom and it's actually worth something, I do take the time to research whatever that piece of furniture, that picture, that frame, that tchotchke is to see if we are holding on to something valuable. If the person is hanging on to it because they love it, then guess what? Tiffany has to put on her big girl creative pants and figure out how to make it work in that space. However, if it's something that is not worth it and it's taking up valuable space and I can use that space to make their lives a little bit better and a little bit more stylish, I will talk them into possibly donating it to a sister or a brother, throwing it away, or selling it.
And I want to know where you can shop for those big girl creative pants, too.
I'll tell you where. You stop at my office for them. Just give me a call, and I'll be right there on the next thing smoking.
That's so good.
That is the kind of energy and emergency I want from the host of America's Most Embarrassing Rooms.
I
are you
it.
Kidding me?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, for those of us who are, say, in the more median range of clutter and things that we all have, from kids' school papers to gym bags to whatever it is, how do you get a handle on the daily organization tips of, well, I'll give one away, my wife despises where I leave my keys and wallet every day.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong place.
Well, you know what? It is, but you know what? Your wrong places may be right for a reason. What I like to do is I typically come into a house and observe how you live. How do you come in and where do you take your stuff and where do you put down the keys in the mail? If you end up doing it by the bench or if it's thrown by the door, then maybe we need to find some type of something that we can hide the clutter, like the shoe bin with like a nice little bench on top of that to go there. Maybe we need some hooks in that spot, because what I try not to do is disrupt how you live. So it really is just as simple as recording how you live and then making whatever storage solution or your routine kind of fit with what you're already doing.
Wow. I love that. And I will also amend how I enter the house, which is tearing everything off and throwing it randomly about me.
Ah, like right. Our five-year-old.
Like our five-year-old,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So many people do it. I'm guilty of it, too. You know, so many people come in, they take off their shoes, they throw down the mail, and then they put their keys wherever they may land. That just signals to me that you need a nice little console table there with a couple little cubby holes and a bench to put your shoes neatly in and somewhere to sit down and do all that and some hooks for your coat.
Wow, you've got my DIY juices flowing.
Yes.
Really excited, Tiffany Brooks, a Yay Decor on Facebook.
Yes, and youandyourdecor.com, and we have to go to break.
We'll be back with more Very Organized, my Fix It Up Life.
You must be open-minded. But I am so overexcited to see you another day. Ba 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 da ju wa ba ba da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba 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 da ju wa ba. Shut up!
Got paint prep? Do it the high way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
You're back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we're at the end of the show.
So check out more how-to fun at MyFixItUpLife.com. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and see what we're pinning on Pinterest.
Watch our videos on YouTube and listen to more shows at Blog Talk Radio, 1520 AM in Philly, and on iTunes.
And email us at info@myfixituplife.com. We love to hear your home improvement successes, your challenges, and your ideas.
So make life fun and join us next time for more My Fix It Up Life.
Might be a mistletoe into a tree and I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. With the referee, I'm so glad you walked into my life, into my fix it up life. This is my fix it up life. It might be a white dress walking up to me. It might be a sunrise in a sky blue sea. Might be